For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn again to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and we read the verses 25 through 32. And our scripture reading will also be the text of the sermon. Now let us turn to the scripture, chapter 15, from the Gospel of Luke, verse 25. And there we read the Word of God. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was me that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. So far the reading of the Word of God. Beloved congregation, this morning we listened to this parable and heard about the merciful father and the prodigal son. So far, the parable is similar to the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost piece of silver. But the parable of the prodigal son has not come to an end yet. Why not? We need to understand that the Lord did not tell this triple parable randomly, but at a time that the Pharisees and scribes were murmuring. They muttered, they grumbled about Jesus, as we read in verse 2 of Luke chapter 15. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It is especially to them that the Lord directs this parable. So first of all, the parable was addressed to them, to the spiritual leaders of the people, to those who were highly esteemed among men and were examples to the people, to those who knew everything about Moses' law and taught the people. We would say to the ministers and elders. In these three parables, the Lord Jesus made clear why he had come into this world, to seek and to save that which was lost. Publicans and sinners are compared with the lost sheep, with the lost piece of silver, and with the prodigal son. But Pharisees and scribes understood that very well. Just as they understood that the end of the parable of the merciful father was about them. Because the older son is about the spiritual leaders, about those to whom the Lord spoke this parable. The first two parables end with joy and mirth. Joy about a sinner that repents. That was the application of the first two parables. In this third parable, the Pharisees and the scribes had to make their own application. An application does not follow verse 24, but further on, after the Lord focuses the parable on them, when he speaks about the older son. And again, we write above the sermon the parable about the merciful father. Two thoughts. First, the son refused to come in. And secondly, the father went out to urge him to come in. The parable about the merciful father, the son refused to come in, the father went out to urge him to come in. First of all, let us listen to this part of the parable. It's about the older son. What did the Lord say about him? The first thing we read about the older son is that he was in the field. It sets the tone about the older son. He was in the field. That means he was a hard-working son. We do not read that he was sent by his father. Fact is that he was not at home when the younger son returned. No, he was in the field. We may assume that it was his own choice. He likes to be a hard-working son. He did everything for his father's farm. Nothing was too much to him. His whole life was about working for a good purpose. Such a son deserves respect and esteem from all people. He judges himself in the same manner. Of course, he would not say that, because that is not done. But in his heart, he thought himself to be an honest man, hardworking, obedient and faithful. He was an example of sobriety and modesty. He would never ask for reward, for he was so modest. Hear what he said of himself in verse 29. Lo, these many years I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. What a sobriety and modesty. You hear, he is really a nice guy and serious, an example to other young people. But all these nice traits are no more than a farce. His righteous and faithful conduct is no more than farce or a whitewash. It looks beautiful. But behind it, you find dead man's bones and uncleanness, like the Lord Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 27. The Lord compared them with white sepulchres. The question arises, what was wrong with this older son? What was his sin? Wasn't he right? He had served his father for many years, and all those years he never had received a kid that he might make merry with his friends, had he? Let us listen carefully to this parable. The older son heard music and dancing as he was coming from the field. Music and dancing, young people, that means there was happiness at home. There was an abundance of joy and thankfulness. Didn't the older son really have any inkling of what was happening at home? He was the older son who had a birthright. Inheritance is the right of the older son. Wouldn't he have known what people were talking about at home? Wouldn't he have known what his father was worrying about? Wouldn't he have known how his father was looking for the return of the younger son? Wouldn't he have known of the robe, the ring, and the shoes which were ready for the younger son? Of course he knew. How do we know? Because later on, the father said to his older son, "Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. The older son knew all. He knew everything about home. He knew his father's love for the two boys. But for him, it was so different. He had hoped that his younger brother would never come back. He understood that he had lived like a spendthrift, had lived in a sinful way. He was a prodigal. The younger son did what he liked. But he, the older son, had done his work at his father's farm faithfully and with great zeal. If the younger would ever come home, he would certainly deserve punishment. Now that the older son heard the joy and dancing, he could not believe his ears. Would it be true that the younger son had come home? To him it was a question. But he didn't ask his father directly. No, he asked one of the servants. He didn't go home, but remained outside in the field. There was no direct contact with his father. And this speaks volumes. His heart was filled with distrust. One of the servants answered the older son, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." But hearing the servant talk did not make the older son glad. No, he was angry. Why? He explained it to his father with several reasons. Read them in verse 29 and 30. It essentially comes down to a lack of love for his father. A lack of love for his father. He was angry because there had never been any love for his father. He said, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee." What kind of serving? If a son works for his father, we don't usually talk about slaving. The older son acted as if he were a slave of his father. He talked about so many years. Apparently, for him, it was a long time. We read about Jacob that he worked for his uncle Laban 2 times 7 years to get married to Rachel. What do we read in the scripture about these years of working? They seemed unto him but a few days. Why? For the love he had to her, to Rachel. The one who works out of love forgets time and does not count the hours. Time flies. So many years. That's the language of slavery. Neither did he transgress his father's commandment at any time. No, he lived decently. He would have kept it from his youth on, like the ruler of Luke chapter 18. But he forgot the commandment of Moses, as we read in Leviticus, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." But the older son did neither love his brother nor his father. He didn't have good thoughts about his father. He thought his father didn't see it right. Listen to his charge. "And yet thou never gavest me a kid." It's a strange conclusion, and it's filled with self-pity. Now he became open with his feelings towards his father. He had always served his father so he could earn something. All the time he had served his father, he was waiting for the moment his father would say, "My son, you will get what you looked for. Here you have a kid, a young goat. Kill it, eat with your friends, and be merry." But that moment him never. He talked honestly about his desires. He told his father what his purpose was of his life, being happy with others, merry with friends. But who belonged to his friends? Apparently, there was neither any room for his father nor for his younger brother. No, they didn't belong to his friends, for he had no love for them. Meanwhile, the oldest son showed that he had the same heart as the younger son. The younger son used the heritage for himself, with riotous living without his father, focused on himself. But the older son, who talked about getting a kid and making merry with friends, said the same. Sometimes he would like a drunken party. Sometimes he would like to be delivered from the yoke of his father. He would like to live his own life and have his own parties. What he liked to do was in essence the same he blamed the younger son for. Verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Do you notice that both the younger son and the older son wished to have joy far away from the face of the father? This older son wouldn't have any relationship with his father and his younger brother. Hear him saying, but as this thy son was come. He wouldn't call him brother, but this thy son. It sounds arrogantly and without any love. He's high-minded and proud, and so we are all by nature. I suppose you understand that this parable is not only about two sons. You know. Do you know? It's about you and about me. By nature, we lack the love to God and his service. Adam and Eve questioned God's commandment. With this, love was damaged. But when love is marred, joy and happiness languish. Our need is that we don't miss this love. We are blind. It is even possible that we think that we serve God, but actually we serve ourselves. On closer inspection, we see no difference between the older son and the younger son. Both paid no attention to father's heart. Both wouldn't live with their father's love because his love meant disapproval of their own desires, fed by their heartiness and pride. We see the older son standing outside. His younger brother is alive again due to the father's grace. But the older son didn't know this grace. Do you know this grace? Just tell me. Ask yourself, what does the service of the Lord mean to you? The Lord has given you the promises of the covenant of grace. Every day you receive many gifts from the Lord. He shows you his fatherly love, his fatherly care. Every week you can hear the sweet sound of the gospel in which you hear God's heartbeat. Have you heard it in your life? What does it mean to you to serve the Lord? Does it give you joy and happiness? Or do you serve out of duty? Is it a service out of love or of duty? What does it mean to you? Children, young people, parents, elderly, what does it mean to you going to church? reading the Bible. Perhaps you find it important to listen to Orthodox preaching, and you are serious in observing Christian principles. Well, that is nice. But does it mean anything more to you if there is no warm-hearted involvement? You are just like the older son. When everything is spiritual, arid, and dead in you, and it doesn't bother you, how is that possible? We look like the older son as well. When we complain about our struggles and sorrows, but seriously, we blame God. Let us turn to the older son. He needs a lot of words to complain about his brother to his father, but we never hear him complaining about himself. It's about his brother's folly, not about himself. Are you disappointed with others? Are you disappointed in church? Don't you understand the foolish behavior of others? Meanwhile, you lack the peace of God in your heart. Well, you are doing your best in serving the Lord, and you don't really understand the Lord in your life. Before you know it, you blame the Lord and are full of self-pity. You are disappointed with others, but are you never disappointed with yourself? The older son was never disappointed with himself. To the older son, serving his father looked like fulfilling some duties, living according to a set pattern and observance of some principles. For him, that was living with his father. But meanwhile, he tried to rule his own life without his father. When you hear him talking, it's only about what he thinks. His life was not governed by love, because self-love dominated. Congregation, we need the Holy Spirit to see who we really are. He has to uncover us to our self-righteousness. And like the younger son, the older son lived without his father, although he was living in his immediate neighborhood. Your life can be very religious. In an outward sense, it may look very decent and can even fill your daily life. But if God is not in it, you lack true conversion. Who of us is not concerned and will not question himself whether he knows real repentance? It was no question to the older son. He didn't care whether he was converted or not. Why not? Because his heart had never become tender. He was not sensitive, for he didn't know tender love. That's what it's all about. You can check for yourself if you are like the older son. Ask yourself, is there any love to the Lord and his word? Is there a measure of love for the serving of the Lord? And do you long to be obedient? In that case, your conscience accuses you that you don't serve the Lord as he deserves. You recognize yourself in the younger son, who came to himself and complained about his sin. You grieve for being like the older son because you are so often insensitive and unmoved. You have judged others too quickly, and you have bad thoughts about God so often. What do you need in that case? You need the seeking love of God. That is what we observe in the second part of this parable. The older son refused to come home. His heart was hardened. The message reached him, "Come, let us be merry." But the older son declined. What was his response of the father? What was the response of the father? Did he argue, "I asked him to come home and to be merry with us"? But he declined. "Well, let him stay outside. Let's shut the door and let him find another place to stay." That would he deserve. But no, that's not the way the father responded. The father was moved both towards the older and the younger son. He went out to invite the elder and offered to make him as happy as the younger. He did not send a servant out with a kind message to him, but he went himself. It is very unusual what happened here. In the ancient Near East, the younger went to the elder. But now the father condescended to his son to seek him. The elder was wrapped up in his haughtiness and pride, bound in self-pity and self-righteousness. But seeing the older son in bondage, his father came with the purpose to deliver him. The older son would not ask to come in. He couldn't. But now the father came and entreated him. Where a man comes to an end with himself, there the Lord starts. What a miracle. The father in the parable didn't give him a scolding. He did not become angry, but spoke to him in loving mercy. The father left the joy and happiness of home to seek his older son who was standing outside. Again, we see the seeking love of the father in this parable. And what a miracle. In tender mercy, the father left the joy of home to call in a stubborn and foolish covenant child. The Lord reveals here his divine love in Jesus Christ. He left the joy and glory of heaven to seek and save lost covenant sons and daughters who are in the field, hardworking maybe, but outside. How humbling it was for the Lord Jesus to come in a wicked world. He was mocked and reproached by people who deserved everlasting death. Yet he came in order to save them. The father sought both sons, both of whom were dead in trespasses and sins. There was no reason in them that the father should seek them, neither the service of the older son nor the repentance of the younger son, neither the obedience of the older son nor the guilt feelings of the younger son could move the father. The only reason was and always remains the father's mercy. We read about the pains the father took to get his son home. We read in verse 28 that the father entreated him. No, the father did not go on his knees, begging his older son to come in. Not in that way. To entreat means here to exhort, to utter an urgent request, to speak emphatically. The word used is also mentioned with the work of the Holy Spirit. He is an advocate with the Father. He exhorts sinners. The strength of the Spirit is necessary to convince the Son. The Son has been invited to come in and not to remain in the field, to deny himself and to lose his self-righteousness. In the Father's entreaty, we hear his mercy. Son, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Son. And the oldest son behaved as he were a servant, as if living with his father's meant doing duties. But his father correct him kindly, but explicitly. He puts his son on his place. It sounds like an accusation. Why do you behave as if you are not my child? It reminds us of God's accusation against his people of Israel. In Malachi, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? The oldest son thought that his father treated him badly, but he was blind to the opposite truth, namely that he treated his father badly. He was blind to everything his father did for him. Like we read about the people Israel. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Why didn't the oldest son know that he possessed all his father's goods? The oldest son was always with his father. He received food and drink, peace and rest, and the promises of the covenant. It could all be his. All that the Lord has is his people's as well. The Lord grants it so that we would serve him. In that way, the Lord grants us all that is his. What are the rich promises he has granted to his people? We hear it in the covenant of grace, promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. And I will be their God. I am the Lord, thy God. Will the Lord drop one of his words to the ground? No, the Lord will fulfill them. All that I have is yours. But the oldest son did not live with this promise. It was not his foundation, because he really did not know his father. He did not long for his father's love. He had turned away from it. His heart was closed. And again, the father made an appeal to his heart. Remember your special position, my son. You can always be with me. You can get all that is mine if you live in communion with me. But to the oldest son was applicable what we read in the scriptures. And ye would not. The Lord came in this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That is emphasized in this parable. No excuses remain to be lost. The Lord reveals to us his patience with his covenant people who have hardened hearts. He persists in seeking it with lovely and serious exhortations. Come in. Share in the joy over a sinner who repents. The Lord says, let my joy be yours. That was the final appeal of the Father. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this my brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. It was meet that we should make merry. In the Greek language, it's a strong expression. It is a commandment. Father said, this is what I want. It is my commandment to make merry. We hear a divine commandment. not a merely a request, but an order. It is my pleasure. It is my pleasure, my son, that you live. Congregation, into this depth, the Lord is willing to descend to children of the covenant, to rebellious ones, to children of the covenant who are so close to the Father's house, living under the preaching of the gospel, but who remain in the field. Why do they refuse? For the joy of the Father is not their joy, because their heart had not been broken by God's love. His love did not make them happy. Tell me, what makes you really happy? Do you know the joy of His gracious, seeking love, so that you can sing song of thy salvation, my heart with rapture thrills? Do you look forward to the rule of this love in your life, your family, and our congregation? Do you look forward to the coming of God's kingdom? Do you look forward to a revival in the church? Rejoice in God. Rejoice in His attributes. Rejoice in His grace. Rejoice not in a kid, not in a prosperous life, but rejoice in a God-honoring life. It was meet that we should make merry. These words are not about an encouragement to be happier in church and to stop showing a gloomy face in the pew. This is about rejoicing in God. And do you know anything about this? Spiritual life can be sunken so much. Sometimes you get the impression that gloom is the most important mark of spiritual life, but that's not true. Spiritual life means, what does it mean? Spiritual life means communion with God in Jesus Christ, knowing the joyful work of the Spirit. Do you know about it? Because that gives joy. The older son did not come in, so he wouldn't have to bow down. He did not want to recognize the younger son as his brother. He would have to live in a loving relationship with his father and on what he would receive from him. He would have to learn that he deserved nothing and that everything comes through grace. On everything he had performed, he would have to write loss and done. Have you learned it? Have you lost everything for the Lord? Do you live on the grace of Christ and on the love that God reveals in Him? Only if we lose ourselves, we will live with Christ. You have to acknowledge, cracks are appearing in my whitewashed wall. Dead man's bones are behind it, my iniquity, my uncleanness. I can't stand before the living God unless He comes to me and convinces me of my need and of the snares of pride, so I will bow down before Him. The older son had to discover that he was not better than the younger son. Yes, he had to admit that his brother surpassed him in conversion, in self-criticism, in humility, in the acknowledgement and confession, "Father, I have sinned." Consequently, he would talk positively about his father and about others instead of himself. But the older son still preferred a kid. Do you see the resemblance and the difference between the two sons? The father went out to both. The father longed to have both sons at home. Both had to celebrate and had to be glad with their father and their privileges. But it was only the younger son who came home. The door was still open for the older son. His father went out and entreated him. The older son could see the open door. His father was standing between him and the open door, full of mercy and compassion. Do you draw the line to God and yourself? Under the preaching of the gospel, the Lord stands before you, calling you to repent. Do we know how this story ends? No, we don't know. It's a story with an open end. But the Pharisees and scribes, they knew the end, because they were meant by the older son. Did they bow? Did they acknowledge Jesus as the promised Messiah who alone can save them? Or did they harden their hearts? Did they oppose Jesus through their reasoning? Did resentment come up in their hearts? But what about you? Who do you resemble? Are you like the older son? Or like the younger son? To be like the younger son, it is not necessary to live like the younger son. In outward sense, your life is probably more like the older son, always going to church, living decently. But do you still live in sin? Still without repentance? The older son had to learn the same as the younger son. Only grace sets him free. Only God's merciful love can save him. God's merciful love can also save you. Oh, that you would put your hope in the Lord alone, as Robert Murray McChane wrote in his famous poem, Jehovah Tzidkenu, Lord our righteousness, my death song shall be. The Lord sends you a messenger of the most joyful tiding. He sends with compassion and with authority. Harden not your heart, but let yourself be led to Jesus Christ. He comes to us in the garment of the word and exhorts you to come in. What more has the Lord have to do? Don't forget, one day the door will be closed. Then it will be heard, Lord, open to us. We have always served thee. We were always in church in Hamilton. We were always serious in our behavior. We did so much for thee. And he will say, I never knew you. Why not? Because you never knew God's love and never rejoiced in it. Would you like stand before a closed door? Or will you enter in? Who is he that fears Jehovah? Amen.